Adrian next.
I just had a quick question or point of clarification on the affiliates matter. We've talked about the affiliates only in terms of there being voting members or not. Isn't it conceivable that we could acknowledge the affiliates in a special way, like saying that affiliates shall have expedited access to the board of directors, to the Pacific and National Board, for matters that concern them, so that they're acknowledged, so that they understand that they're important, but they're not made a part of the voting network?
That sounds like a good idea. Another thing, we could possibly have them elect a couple non-voting members that would sort of let the board know what their concerns were, you know.
Okay, let's see. I had Jim and then Willie.
I think that having simultaneous elections of station boards all over the country would be too difficult to coordinate.
It could be set up so that they would have some option, some leeway of a few weeks, so they wouldn't have to be precisely simultaneous, but the same part of the year. The main thing is that at each station, the national and local boards would be elected at the same time to ensure the greatest possible turnout. There could be a system where some stations would elect in the beginning of November, others in late December. You know, give them a couple months leeway, but then the new national board, if they were electing the national board, wouldn't actually go into effect until after they're all done.
Well, if the station boards weren't certified, it looks like they would have to be up for re-election by the members, and that would throw off the.
If they were decertified by Section D.
Or you have things where people are recalled or the boards are recalled.
Okay. If there's a recall, if somebody's recalled, I didn't say anything about recalls in here. I just didn't get to it. Recall is a sort of technical issue that involves technical law, and I don't really understand it that well. But my feeling is the recall would be done, I just want to say this, the recall would be done by whoever elected a particular member or a group of members would also recall them, which could be, for example, just the staff of one station or just the listeners of one station or both. Anyway, if there was a recall, that would be on a whole different calendar. That would just be, the recall would happen whenever you got the petitions, in, and then you would have the vote, and if they were recalled, then you would replace them then. That would be a special election. That would be outside of the normal timing schedule. The other thing that can happen is if the local governing board is suspended, while it's suspended, there are no elections at that station. I don't know if I made that clear, but there's no elections until they're reconstituted. So that's basically recognizing that the audience that they have, that they're attracting with their programming, are probably not really what Pacific is about. And so you have to reprogram them, get different people in the programming, get different listeners in, and when you got that set, then you have elections again.
Would the national board members be recalled at the same time? The
national board members could be recalled. There would be a process for that.
If the station board
was... Oh, the national board members from that station?
Yeah.
I don't know. I would say my feeling is just shooting from the hip here is they probably should not be, but that's something that could... I don't know. They could be. That's something I haven't specified. That would have to be specified.
Yeah. Let's be as quick as expeditious as we can. We have one more model to go.
Yeah, my first question, I think, is for Carol. And that is, Carol, the extent to which we should be concerned about these diversity requirements conflicting with some non-discriminatory provisions of state and federal laws. Has anyone looked at that?
No, I haven't looked at it, and we do need some legal advice on it. The bylaws provided in 1991 that at least half of the national board should be people of color. And it was changed in 99 to eliminate that requirement. I think perhaps because there was a legal issue raised about it. So we'll have to look into it. I don't know.
The other question has to do with suspending an LGB. It seems to me that what is happening here is there's a problem of the P&B having the responsibility, let's say, for emission compliance and compliance with articles and corporations. But yet in the actual process of doing that, they simply seem to give the authority, or at least to some of that authority, to an LGB, which then complicates their ability to do it.
To the other LGBs, the majority of the total LGBs would have to agree to it. which you're right, there's potentially, I think potentially a legal issue here. My guess is that the legal issue would probably, in terms of somebody doing a lawsuit involving that, would probably never arise. But I mean, I could see that possibly this could be, you know, could be declared an illegal system. Maybe it would be declared that the National Board has to have ultimately all power to do this. One way to redress this, actually, in the way I didn't actually discuss this, I should have, but one of the provisions in here is that a bylaw amendment has to have the compliance of the majority of, it's done by two-thirds of the National Board, but it also requires the agreement of two-thirds of the, not two-thirds, but a majority of the local boards. Now, if you eliminated that, then the National Board would have ultimate say, because if they really wanted to recall stations, if they had a two-thirds majority, they could just change the bylaws and do it.
But keep in mind, now, this is not just a legal issue. This is a simple issue of a contradiction. You give a person the responsibility, but you don't give the authority to actually carry out the responsibility. So that's not law. It's just a matter of consistency.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just, and it seems to me that we should avoid that if that is possible.
Willie, I'm confused on what authority is not being able to be carried out.
The PNB has the authority to operate the station to the policy, which means that they must comply with mission statements, etc. Now, if there is a violation, like the drift has to be sort of, should be articulated, not as drift, but some specific violation of mission.
Mm-hmm.
And if the PNB has responsibility for carrying out that mission, then they need to suspend or an LGB, let's say, for noncompliance. But they can't do it without involving the other LGBs, which then diminish that capacity to do it.
Okay.
Can
I respond to that? Yeah, because the way I see it is there are some things that the National Board has responsibility for that they can do by a simple majority vote, and that's it. And there's other things that involve more complications, e.g. a two-thirds requirement, that because it's recognized that these are potentially dangerous powers, for example, changing bylaws. And the idea is that this is making this power something of that order. Namely, it's something that the National Board has the power to initiate, but it can't do it by a simple majority vote. Now, if there's a continuing controversy over this, remember that the local boards, as well as the national boards, are being directly elected by the same people, and this will come up at the next election to be an issue. And hopefully, eventually, there will be some kind of resolution out of that.
Okay, we're way over time on this, but I think it's surfacing good discussion items, so I think let's keep going for a little while longer. I saw Sydney's hand in that here.
A couple of things, if I can remember both of them, but one is this is assuming that the local governing board of this drifting station has the power to correct the drift.
Well, they have,
and not the station staff.
Oh, they do, though. They have
a governing board.
The
local advisory board.
Okay.
The governing board.
It's which remains to be seen how that works out.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, I forget the other
thing. Okay.
I want to come back to the issue of proportionality. Carol made mention of specific numbers about the idea if you have more than 10,000 and so on, you get, you know, another one. And it made it real for me, and then it occurred to me, what about a new station? Just pretend this is happening. You have a new station that's put in a really bad zone, but it's a place that's important, that there is right now a tiny little progressive community that's developing, and it's important that that place in the country develop. But they're not going to get very much in the way of power on the national board, but their station operates absolutely in a way that we've never seen before, so beautifully in expressing the mission.
They get merit board members.
It's a reason for suggesting that proportional representation isn't a good idea in a situation like this, because then you're making it membership driven. You're making it how much money can I bring in, basically, how many members can I bring in, rather than what am I delivering.
Right.
I see what you say.
Lowest common denominator programming will get you more members.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Interesting issues. Okay, Mary, and then I'll go back to you.
Yeah, I've been kind of thinking, and I'm glad you said that, because it's been bothering me since last week. Something's been bothering me about that, and it's that's it.
At present, I think the opposite.
About proportionality, I also want to say, you mentioned about, well, if the programming is diverse, it'll all be diverse. That's true. In an ideal world, that'll all happen. It'll happen just if we snap our fingers, and oh, bingo, the program is diverse everywhere, all at the same time. So all our elections are totally diverse. It's not going to be like that. We have to grow a different audience. We have to. It's going to take years. So we need to do something, just like in this country. Eventually, it'll all level out, but it could be millennia from now. So you need something to equalize the playing field for the time being.
That's why I have diversity criteria in here. Yeah.
And the other issue, this is not just your model, but lots of them. I just want to point out, a lot of them are saying 2 years with elections every year. We've had 2 years of experience with this, and it's god-awful.
Mm-hmm.
It takes all of your energy to do it. It's immensely costly. Maybe we can run an election in 3 months, but it takes 6 months before we even start to drum up candidates and everything else. If we don't constantly do that, then we have a very low turnout, which is totally not democratic. And we really should have 6 months for an election, not three. Then we might get a much better turnout. So I just want maybe all the people who make models might want to think of that. In the real world, if we had elections every other year, it's bad enough. So I don't know how we're going to adjust. 3 years with or something would be better yet.
I wouldn't mind adjusting this to make it just all the elections are both national and local every 2 years. I mean, that would be possible.
Yeah, that would, and 3 years would be better yet, because then we could involve more listeners and make it more democratic and more diverse, because we'd have time.
Because we have a national election going on at the same time as
well.
Well, we'd be working on it over a 3 year period.
But the risk is that the board could sort of drift off away from their base in that time, you know.
Well, then you have the recall thing. We have ways to hit their heels.
I remembered what I wanted to ask is how do we calculate the number of listeners? I mean, nationally.
I don't know.
Subscribers, everybody's got a list.
That's
right.
All
right, one more. I think two more. Okay,
James. On the subject of Michael's concern about class and tied to programming, and what constitutes a member, there are listeners with incomes under what we used to call four figures or three figures, okay?
Yeah.
I mean, and that's real. Yeah. And there are a lot of people who listen to KPFA who are not, at the moment, able or see themselves able to donate, or they see that, I mean, that they don't have
or volunteer
or any of the above, but they listen. I mean, if we want youth membership, and I do, we have to look at how we make that possible.
We might set up something to allow first at least some people of a more minimal amount of volunteering, like they're working poor who really just don't have time. I don't know. That's a very good thought.
3 hours.
That is pretty minute.
Per year.
Oh, that's pretty good. Okay, take it back.
That's all we have.
How about Lochner listening?
Oh,
perfect world.
Hold it, folks. Okay.
Okay,
I think we got that. There's yet another issue. Okay, yes.
This is one of the reasons I agree with Mary's concern. However, I think it's absolutely good to see that now we are in the process of developing a model that we consider. We do not consider the limitation of any source. After we have finalized maybe 2-3 models, then we can see the difficulty of implementation of a certain model.
So keep it open and creative.
Otherwise, it will just
All right. I would like to cut this off for now, if you don't mind, and go to the consolidator here.
I have a question.
Before you do that, are we going
till
9:30? What's the time limit?
I'm willing to go to 9:30.
9:30, okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Sure.
So I think we're going to have to spend at least 15 or 20 minutes for the end figuring out where we're going to go, sort of bringing it together and where we're going to go.
Yeah.
So, okay.
I'm going to go back to the model question. Carol had asked about this whole business of Dittman's constituency model or not to be presented.
I changed my mind and chose not to present it. I'm sure it will come up from another station area and we can address it then. Doesn't have any adherents here in Berkeley that are coming to our meetings.
Okay. And they do a better job.
Okay, so we'll let the people interested in it. Good. All
but
right. So
we stuck with the thing.
I started out with what I presented last week, and I've included the other stations, basically. And I've color-coded things. Anything that has to do with money is green, money or budget. Anything that has to do with elections is in red, that's power. Anything that has to do with programming is in purple. Everything else is in black, okay? And there are really five levels. I've included an additional level, and I'll discuss that later. We have the membership. In the case of Berkeley, it's well defined. And then we have the labs, the five stations, and the national board and staff. I will walk you up the Berkeley branch. The membership basically elects the lab, and we have a well defined system, and it is designed to ensure diversity. I don't try and specify what the other stations will be doing, but there will have to be some guidelines to ensure diversity and some sort of a proportionality, okay? And in addition, of course, the membership provides the money which closes the station. And that's a very essential function, in my opinion. As for the lab then deals with the station. And I have, in the case of Berkeley, we're not quite there, but I think that the lab should really be managing the station. That means it should review and approve budget. It should provide programming input, and of course, it should hire and supervise and fire the station manager. As for what the other stations, the other labs do, it would be left to them. But I think all three factors would be included in the management relationship with the stations. And of course, the big role for the lab is to elect, I said, a minimum of three, a maximum of five. Every lab would have three members on the national board, and at that minimum, and up to five. And the exact number would be figured out in relation to the relative size of the lab's membership. That's a very straightforward thing. That's the way I see it. And each, of course, lab would have the same relationship with the national board. I'm adding two committees here. One is what I call the National Budget Committee. And there would be a representative for each lab would send a rep to that National Budget Committee. Each station would send a rep, and the national board would have three representatives, so a total of 13. They will sort out the national budget or the budget for the national board, and based on the capacity of each station to contribute to it, and of course the needs of the national board, because it seems to me that we would be taking power away from the national board. Somebody's got to handle that, and I'm giving it to that committee here. And again, each lab would have one member, and each station would have one member for a total of 10, and then the national board would have two. Likewise, there would
have
be a national...
Three from the national.
And then each... There would also be what I call a national programming committee. And each station would contribute a member, each lab a member, and the national board three members. And the role of that committee would be to figure out the nature of the national program and how it is to be used by each station. Now, I have written up something, and it's all kind of spelled out in words in that thing that I have prepared. And I'd like to read very quickly, tell you very quickly about the powers of the national board. I distributed it on the computer. I have an extra one. I'll give it to you. Okay.
It's on our website. Got posted today.
The national board is the legal owner of the Pacifica network. Its assets and licenses. It represents the network in its dealings with the public, state and federal agencies, and the courts. It monitors adherence by the stations to Pacifica's mission. It implements national programming in accord with the decisions of the National programming committee and monitor its use by the network stations, roughly, and it generates and distributes consolidated financial reports for the network. So this spells out briefly what the national board would be doing. But compared to what is today, it would have greatly reduced power. So that's what I've come up with. If you have any questions, I'll be glad to answer.
Okay, I saw Kurt left.
Well, I was going to ask, and maybe you've answered, are those committees, the two committees of the board, because I'm starting to wonder, but I think you may have answered it here, what job there is for the national board, but I think actually you've done a gosh darn good job.
The committees, I think, would be independent of the national board.
Okay.
They would have a lot of clout on two major issues, namely money and programming.
Yes.
The question I have is the question that we raised. The national board has a full responsibility to go to the federal government, state government, and fight up all the other challenges to its mission, if they're fulfilling or not. Yet, they hardly have any authority in the budget. Suppose they have to hire and go and do a tremendous amount of legal work to fart off some people who are trying to wipe us out. And the budget committee says, no, you can't have the money.
Well, it seems
how do you deal with that?
Well, I don't know. I haven't thought out all of these details. But it seems to me that in such a case, they would be able to convene a meeting of the budget, national budget committee, and sort this out. It seems to me that kind of deadlock would sound almost irresponsible to me. But then such things happen in government.
Well,
you have an excellent point.
Hey,
yeah. Carol?
That's
what
such kinds of irresponsibility have happened.
That's right.
And I'm concerned about having a budget and programming committees that have independent authority of the board. I think there have to be committees of the board. Actually, legally, in order to wield that kind of power over the budget, I would not sit on that national board where I could be sued for being irresponsible with the money when I couldn't possibly control through my vote what happened to the money. So it's got to have to be, it can be a committee of the board with local members on it.
On it, yes.
You can do that, but the board, national board, is going to have some way. Ultimately, the final approval on the national budget has got to be at the national board level, because otherwise you have a responsibility with no authority to carry it out. And I think, but I like your national programming committee. Also very much, I see that as potentially that oversight body on station drift could easily carry out that function as a function of the board with some due process things about what would happen if somebody felt that a station was not carrying out the mission. That committee could do an investigation and make reports and, you know. But ultimately, I think those two things, both the budget and, say, decertifying a station, would have to be voted upon by the national board, because they're the ones with the legal responsibility for it.
Yeah, I was wondering when I read that, wouldn't it automatically, somehow, wouldn't there be a legal situation where the national board couldn't be the legal owner and all the things you say, because some of that would have to be these committees. And if these committees somehow had the responsibility legally and had the legal authority to do the final decision making, I would have big problems, because those are five people that are, I would rather have the people that are elected more immediately have that responsibility than some other designated group.
Let's see, I saw Jane and Dorothy haven't spoken yet, and then Lily and Gregory.
On the presumption that lawsuits fall under finances. I said, on the presumption that lawsuits fall under finances, who is overseeing the enforcement of the civil rights laws in the various stations and any other entities we have, like national news and stuff like that? Whose responsibility is that? in any one answer to that model in particular.
Well, maybe we should let Max, did you have a thought about who?
Well, it would seem to me that the national board would be responsible because it legal, but I would let the lawyers speak about that. I think legally they would be on the first line, really, in terms of lawsuits.
If somebody wants to sue KPFA for violation of their civil rights, the entity they would be suing would be the Pacifica Foundation. So ultimately, the national board has to have policies that require compliance with the law, and, you know, the national board has to direct through its labs or somehow or another that the each station comply with them.
I haven't heard it mentioned by any of the presenters whether or not it is possible that those who are being elected by the local lab could be members of the local lab, should be or can be.
Or have to be.
Well, I've thought a little bit about it, but it seems to me that it would be they would be flexible as to how they could elect their own people and or they could elect somebody on the outside to be a member of the national lab. I think that would be the best option to leave it completely flexible for the labs to decide.
Okay.
Yes,
mine were members of the station board who were elected. Mine were members of both.
What I'd like to do is to see if we could not represent an advisory relationship in this shot, too. For example, they have the program council that has an advisory relationship, and I'm seeing that the advisory relationship is usually represented by a broken line.
Okay.
I wonder if you could comment on how that would look here. For example, program council that is advises either a lab or a station or the national board. The other thing, too, it appears to me that those stations are serving two masters, the national board and the lab, and the instance of those blue lines, because they have some accountability in both instances, which squeezes them in the middle. Or is that?
Well, yes.
Where we want them.
That's where we want them. I started this with the idea that somehow we would take away a lot of power from the national board and move it down.
Okay.
And that has been my thinking in putting this together. Maybe I've gone overboard. Some very reasonable issues have been raised here. And in putting this together, I've been asking myself, well, what are the real powers of the national board? I've tried to list a few things. The issue, and I've always felt that all along from the very beginning, is one of the proper balance between the base and the national board to prevent what happened from happening again. At the same time, leaving the national board with enough power that it can run the show. And I still believe that we need a national network. What's the proper balance?
Can you then comment on the advisory process? Will an advisory relationship help to sort of democratize the process and what you think and get it work?
I suppose when it comes to the are you referring specifically to the program councils as
yes,
an example?
Yes.
Yeah, they could be built. In our case, that's what we have.
Mm-hmm.
In some sense, we have the program council, which is part of the station, and they are reps from the lab, and this is underway right now.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea is to democratize the whole process of programming at the level of the station. But that leaves out of the picture the issue of the national programming. That's why I threw this thing in there. And again, how you link it in reality with the national board, would it be an advisory thing, or would it have real power independent of the national board? I'm not sure what the best arrangement would be at this point. Yes.
And Gregory, and then Sydney, and Gary, and then Sydney.
Okay.
And then Elizabeth. Okay.
On the question of these committees, I think they should be committees of the board.
The board, okay.
And not seen as independent powers, but seen as having, in the bylaws, mm-hmm. delegated powers,
mm-hmm.
which in some, Mary seemed to indicate that they were like, they came out of nowhere, but it was very clear that these are people who are elected by whatever group is electing him. So they are an elected
committees
of the whole network.
That's right. In this scheme, they are drawn from the lab, the national lab, and the state.
So I think pictorially they look good there, but conceptually they ought to be up
beneath the
board.
Yes, that's right.
And with the lines that way.
Yes.
But as committees of the board with certain delegated authority, I think they're very appropriate. And I would only then add that in some instance you would have an override in the sense of if the budget that the budget committee approved was in some kind of a conflict with the national board, that the national board could override it by a two-thirds vote or something like that. But start the balance of power.
Balance of power, yeah.
On the question of the stations, I'm still very perplexed. Who is the station in your mind?
Well, this has nothing to do with the legality of this thing.
No,
I'm thinking bylaws. I'm thinking, functionally speaking, the station bureaucracy is a reality. Therefore, in any sort of flowchart showing how these pieces are related, it seems proper to me anyway, that the station be included in the food chart.
Right.
That is my thing.
For instance, you say the station would select a member to these committees.
No, yes, the management of the station, the manager of the station.
Okay, well, that's what I'm trying to figure out. Do you mean
the staff would elect them?
The staff would elect them? Well, that's what we need to clarify.
Oh!
At this point, we talk about the station, and nobody knows what anybody means when they say the station. Are they talking about the general manager? For instance, the program council, nobody knows what role the program council has in relation to actual programming decisions, because sometimes it sounds like, oh, this got on the air because the programming council decided it, and other times we're told, oh, the programming council is merely advisory, so don't expect them anything that they have to say is going to have a real effect, and that there's some kind of clique in the station that really makes the decisions, and whether it's Jim Bennett or nobody knows. Who's making decisions?
I have a good idea. I serve on the program.
That's what I'm saying.
You can ask me directly.
Yeah, but
you can ask me too.
Everybody knows. Station structure.
They will.
But my point again is that the station plays an essential role in the accounting. I mean, the money goes to it. So functionally, they are there in terms of handling money.
Yeah,
and the other thing is that the day-to-day business of running the station is their responsibility.
Well, see, but that's my question is to me, if you're making the station governing board real, then they are part of the station. They're not separate from the station.
Yes.
So that's where I get confused in the model. In the picture of the model, because to me the circle of the station is
included.
Yeah.
I understand what you're saying, but looking at it the other way, I've lived and worked in bureaucracies. I think it's always useful to recognize them for what they are. They do have a lot of clout, a lot of power, even though legally you could argue that the status is somewhat ambiguous at times. I thought that I should show them.
I'm just unclear who you're showing. Are you talking about the paid employees?
That would have to be spelled out. Obviously, for instance, in the program council, we have a certain arrangement. I think a similar arrangement in the case of KBS.
Is the program council part of the station?
I think it is. I think it is part of the station.
Everything is.
Yeah. Gary,
The model that you tried to, the point of this is to pull power from the national board so that you don't have the same thing happen.
That's right, yes.
But where's the connection, the direct connection between the listener and the election to the board? Why does it have to have that in-between step? Why not have a component? Is there a reason that you chose not?
Yeah, in the previous, you remember my previous presentations, I have the charts with me. There was what I called the direct democracy model.
Mm-hmm.
Everything flowed from the membership directly to the national board, and the lab was bypassed. It seems to me that again, it's an issue of practicality. I'd rather, if I had my druthers, I would go through the lab and have the lab more or less as the focal point, because I think it would be more easier to handle.
But can you foresee, having drawn all these,
yes,
any problem in a hybrid model where you have members elected from the labs and you have members elected from the...
No, I don't have any problem. It's just a matter of practicality. You could also have here, the option whereby the membership collectively could recall the national board.
Mm-hmm.
Here, each lab recalls its representatives on the national board, but in addition, you could have a recall option enabling the membership collectively,
mm-hmm,
which means Berkeley by itself could recall the whole national board. I'm putting this on the carpet, but tongue in cheek. I think it's a matter of practicality, because here people can really identify with the candidates. The minute you start, well, you could do it. You could do it. I have a gut feeling that it would be more difficult. But I may be wrong.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, you mentioned the recall. That was on my question. I didn't see where, if recall was on there and how it would work.
It says here that the membership elects the lab and has the power to recall the lab.
Mm-hmm.
Likewise, the lab elects its members to the national board. It has the power to recall its members from the national board.
In response to this thing about direct election of the national board, it would seem to me that the more involved we become with the lab members, and the more the lab members, you know, each have like a constituency, the more a representative they will be.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, to our wishes.
I was just going to suggest, like, I think it used to be that the lab members, maybe it still is, I didn't have a chance to read the whole thing, but the lab members become part of the national board, like they're the ones who are elected, or they're going to elect somebody who's not even on the board to be the national board. Because I think it's a good idea to have the local people from the local board on the national board, and that you maintain the local control.
There is an issue of practicality. In Berkeley alone, we have 22 people. So we end up with similar numbers from the other stations. We'll have 100 people.
Well, I'm not saying everybody on the local board, but people from the local board would go to the national board rather than...
The election would be limited to just them.
Oh, okay. Right.
No outside.
Okay, I was just making sure of that.
Okay.
Wait, was that your idea? Or
well, my own thinking on it, I thought the lab should have the option of electing its members or somebody else from the public.
But I think it should be lab members, not somebody else from the public.
That's a fair enough.
They're elected by the public or the station people.
Okay,
yes.
Carol.
If we change the name lab to GAB, or governing board, local governing board, LGB.
Yes.
If it's a governing board with really the delegated powers of the national board delegated to the local board to manage that station within limits, which can be revoked through some sort of a decertification process, you can transfer the power, delegate the power of the national board to a committee of the board if two members of the national board sit on the committee. So one way to do this that I've been thinking about is that legally the local boards would be committees of the national board that would have at least two members overlapping.
Mm-hmm.
You have to have a minimum of two.
Okay.
If we did that way, I think it would be very functional and also be legal, which is nice.
Which is how it used to be, right?
Yeah. So we'd move them here.
Right,
and then they would manage the
right. They would be governing boards for these stations with the power and authority of the national board exercised through them.
Okay,
and it would with the national board having the power to revoke that authority under certain extraordinary circumstances. That's one thing way to do it. There's another thing that I just wanted to.
talk about direct election of the national board from the membership level. There's something that's appealing to about it, but as a practical matter, I right now I'm serving on both boards, the local and the mm-hmm. national board, and I know a lot as a result of that that I wouldn't know otherwise. As a national board member, I know a heck of a lot more about what's going on at KPFA than I would if I weren't on the KPFA board. And also, I think that and I think that's important knowledge to bring to the national board that's missing from some of the national board members who aren't on local boards and don't have that information. The other thing is, when I vote for somebody running for the local board, I'm really going a lot on faith that what they say is true. But if I work with them for a while on a local board, then I really find out how they think and what they do. And I think I would make a better choice in my vote for that person to the national board.
Mm-hmm.
From having worked with them. As a matter of fact, as Gregory and I were driving down tonight, I was saying, you know, I think that the local board elections need to precede the national board elections by a minimum of 3 months and perhaps 6, so that that board is working together and finding out who we really are. Because we all have great ideals, but some of us are real nasty.
That's true. That's a great point.
No. Let's see, I saw Jane and I saw Michael.
How do you deal with the diversity?
Might as well admit it.
Well,
with this model of that how when you get up top, how do you ensure what Michael has been talking about and what kind of other you've been talking about?
Excuse me?
How do you then adjust what comes from the bottom up to be representative, because it may not be.
Yes. Well, in our case up to here, it seems to be working well. There is a real question here as to we'd have 3 to 5 seats, in our case probably 5 seats, and it would be left to the wisdom of the lab. There would have to be some guidelines. I haven't really thought them out to come up with a diversified contingent serving on the national board. But with 5 people, it may be a little bit tricky to do. But clearly there would have to be some coordination with the other with the other labs to make sure that we end up with a national board that is diverse.
But
and,
by
and,
this
and,
model,
and
each lab is electing their own, so are you saying that there's a backdoor discussion about who we're going to put?
Yeah.
Well, that would be the advantage of a direct election in a way. But even if you have a direct election from down here, you may have each, how would I put it, if collectively you have the membership voting, then you can easily set guidelines, just as we do it, so that you end up with a diverse national board. Okay. But if you have each segment or each area voting directly from the national board, you may end up with some... you will have diversity in each segment, but I'm not sure that the sum total will necessarily be as diverse as you want it to be.
That's right.
And that concerns me mightily, because that's
a legitimate question. Up to here, I think it can be assured, just as we are doing it in Berkeley. I'm assuming that the other stations will do something similar, and we can certainly put guidelines on that. But from here to here, unless there is some dialogue among the labs, you may not end up with diversity. That is a real question.
We want you to elect so-and-so. I mean...
No.
Yes, there are some problems.
Maybe at some point, assuming that you do have a national board, each lab would elect more than the minimum, okay? And then you would apportion the seats in such a way that you would end up with a diverse national board. But then you may end up with a somewhat of a skewed representation from each lab. I don't know. I'm just talking out. It's that thing would have to be sorted out. And I don't have these answers.
Okay. Yet. Michael,
and then Michelle
Robertson.
Actually, that's what was just said. That was something that I specifically addressed, the means of having it be, the national board be elected directly from each station and yet have the overall result be diverse and require a somewhat complex system, but it is possible. I actually see that as an advantage of direct elections, although maybe you could do it with an indirect election system too. What I mostly wanted to respond to, I like what Carol said about the idea of having national board members be on the local boards, and perhaps you could even say that all national board members are local board members, and this could be incorporated into any of the models that we have, and it might simplify some of the legal problems. I feel it's important that we keep some perspective on the legal issues. We have to be legal to avoid legal trouble and to avoid somebody, you know, wresting control away from us of Pacifica by showing that we're in violation of the law. And at the same time, I strongly feel that we should be really thinking these things in not in the spirit of the law of the state of California, but in the spirit of our values. And I think that really we should think of the entire Pacifica community as a sovereign and as having the ultimate responsibility. And find a way to fashion it so that the national board can assume that responsibility when it's legally required to do so, but to have balances. Just to respond to one other thing Carol said about the issue of knowledgeability and knowing the people that you're voting for, that's very true, except I think that is actually what was always used as an excuse to limit the franchise, for example, to people who are better educated or better off. I think it's true that undoubtedly that lab members know better, know the people involved better than ordinary, you know, members and listener members. I think, however, that's kind of what you have campaigns for. That's what you have recalls for and reelectability for, is to keep people accountable. And I think the critical thing is to not end up with a self-perpetuating coterie of people that sort of keep the network going, but sort of keep it among themselves year after year. Because I think when you do that, you can really lose touch with the community out there. That's I think a long range danger that we definitely face at Pacifica and any progressive social movement faces.
Okay, let's see.
As Carol was mentioning, there's a legal requirement to have national board members on the local governing boards. Is that?
If the national board is going to delegate its authority over the station, we have to have at least two national board members on the lab.
Okay, now to honor that legal requirement, basically in the model of the local governing boards collectively as a whole, electing the national board members by a process of voting very similar to the way the membership in each area is electing the local governing board. It's basically a process of preference voting with certain diversity criteria. So you add just one more criteria at the level of voting from the local governing boards to the national board, and that additional criteria is a minimum of two members from the local governing board needs to go to the national board from each area. So that just becomes an additional diversity criteria, you might say.
Okay. I want to point out that we're really going to have to wrap this up in order to spend some time figuring out what we're going to do next. So just a few hands have been up, but if we could do it quickly, and because it's going to take us a little while to figure out what models we want to work on. I know that's going to take some time. So
well, just in response to this long-term insight quick question, would we have some term limits?
Oh, well, there's a legal term on it.
Well, there isn't, unless they write it in.
And I don't mean so short either, in the way.
Did you mean there is one in state law?
Yeah, state law directors can only serve for 3 years in a membership organization such as we're creating.
State law
that governs this corporation, yes. A director's term can be a maximum of 3 years, and I believe a maximum of 2 terms. I would have to verify that.
What about lab type of?
That's okay.
Yeah, I mean, we could build term limits into it, but I see that if we're having replenishing elections of these labs every year or every 2 years, we're going to be bringing new people in.
I just want to point out something, too, Carol can comment on this because she's expert about it, but it was always my feeling when they made it the national people. First, they said the staff people couldn't sit on the national board, and then they took away that, and then they couldn't have anybody in the local board be in the national board. But that's a great way of making sure that nobody knows anything,
right?
And to keep people in ignorance is a great way to have power over them and get them all divided up because they don't know squat about anything anymore. And so I think, actually, in practice, over the years, we can see that just the opposite happened. Way back in the 80s and 90s, when we had staff people on the national board, we had people like Ursulina Burris-Gore from here. We had Ron Wilkins from Los Angeles. And the national board was a vibrant entity then and not so easily bamboozled. And as we began to lose that is when the very thing you talked about happened. So the more the interchange from all those levels, station, lab and national board, the greater and closer that is, the less likely there will be the kind of thing you're talking about.
Well, I think that staff and local and voting members definitely should be able to be on the national board.
Well, I mean, but to have this kind of an interchange that Carol was talking about, it's not a danger. It's danger the other way.
I think we should stop at this point. It's 10 after 9. We have about 20 more minutes. I must say that this has been an incredible discussion. I mean, it has raised and analyze the key issues. So what I'm hoping we can do now is collectively boil this down to something manageable to work with for the next couple of weeks. So what I want to entertain is some suggestions. It seems to me that if we really look at it conceptually, we might have like 2 or 3 or 4 basic models for how this might work. I might be wrong about that, but you know, we have sort of direct election and we have representative. You know, so I'm wondering if we could create 2 or 3 sort of prototypes that people could then take and work with, maybe in small in subcommittees, actually, if there are people who are interested in it, and get them, flesh them out and have them ready for a meeting in 2 weeks or 3 weeks or whenever you want the next meeting to be. Two weeks. Does that sound like a...
Yeah.
Yeah. I was thinking...
We could do this with email. We haven't really used much group email at this
point. That'd be great.
Okay.
Explain your right up here, something like sketch like that.
A diagram, like this beautiful
something like that. Yeah, not like that, but any way you like to. It's not a representation, so it will have
a visual.
Wait, let me photograph.
I doubt I can produce a computer chip block diagram like this, but I could try to over the next couple of weeks. Yeah, I'll definitely work on that. I wanted to mention something. I forgot to mention before, but there's like 4 pages of just my thoughts on stuff here. So if anybody gets the time to read it, that would be nice. But anyway,
I decided. I'm the chair.
You get to. What the hell?
You sir. Are we close?
Let's study this.
before I see. Basically, 3 groups of thought here, and it really functions around how the national board is elected.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And one is
national election that involves all of the labs, all of the station board members voting, applying some diversity criteria. That's one model. What should we call that? I just wanted an initial.
Hey.
Just call it A.
Model Al, Model Bob.
No,
Model J.
I'm going to be Belle. Because this is my favorite model.
Which one is it?
Indirect election.
It's very similar to what Max has done here. National board with subcommittees. Including a subcommittee
for programming
mm-hmm. and budget.
But underneath the national board.
All of it being elected, the local board is elected by the members, which are staff and volunteers and listeners. And this budget committee and programming committee, you've got one per lab, one per staff,
mm-hmm.
somehow or another,
mm-hmm.
and three from the national
yeah.
board. Okay, so this is the subcommittee structure.
Yeah, put a word or two on the
yeah, you didn't
so
say
they remember what it
what
is.
What is Al?
That's what we couldn't come up with.
Well,
we
okay.
call it out.
It's labs elect national, right?
No, as a group.
Global membership.
Labs.
As I understand this,
the
members of all of the labs elect one big giant election.
Right.
National board members.
They want to call them local governing boards. Right?
Well, wait a minute.
No.
National.
So it's
so just global.
It doesn't have to be in one. What about what is not one big giant
no,
election?
No, this is the model that's
labs
discussion.
Collectively.
Labs collectively elect.
Elect.
Oh, okay.
Okay, and these are not.
Okay.
Okay, these are. We're going to change this.
The problem is you're talking apples and oranges.
Local governing board.
Okay.
That's the model.
Elect.
Right.
Collectively.
Like at a convention meeting?
Yeah, or something.
Collectively a diverse national board.
Elect a diverse.
Oh, yeah, I don't like that at all.
PMB.
It's called the algae.
And then,
okay.
Now, the reason why this model is here is because we've spotted the problem
mm-hmm.
of a local board having one or two seats to fill in any given election. That creates a diversity problem.
Yeah.
Right. A serious one. We haven't figured. This is
that's
one way to address it.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
well, I would be the dissenting voice in that.
Well, let's not debate the pros and cons, but just get
we're
them down first.
Fill out the models and then also fill out the pros and cons of each of them over the next 2 weeks.
Yeah.
If you're going to say a pro, then I'm going to sit here and say a con.
Okay. under Bell, what is the? How is the board elected? What's the relationship of the board and the national and the local government board?
The LGBs elect.
Okay.
PNB, and then we've got these.
And then who elects the subcommittees?
And the LGB elects the PNB in cells, right?
Yeah.
Separately.
Right. Each from each lab.
Okay.
And
but the subcommittee part is apples and oranges because the subcommittee can apply to any of the models.
Right. A subcommittee, any of these models, we could call the local boards mm-hmm. a subcommittee of the national board.
No,
legally,
yeah.
It would be structured. What?
A partitioned election.
Yeah.
So we know what we're talking about here, don't
yeah,
we?
I think.
Can I make a quick suggestion?
I'm jumping the gun a little bit. It seems to me that as part of the process within the next 2 weeks, for each model, somebody should put together a narrative with bullets, just as I've done in my
that's
case.
What we're
yeah,
doing.
Okay.
And
yeah.
then I will be glad to help out with some of the diagrams.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yay.
Okay.
Great.
Great.
But I have to have the bullets
right.
clearly spelled out, and then we can work the diagrams
okay.
because they're helpful.
What is Castor?
Ooh, a bitter pill.
I'm thinking of Casper.
The ghost.
What makes her the ghost and not the tanks in South Africa and Israel and Palestine, they're called, they're Caspers also.
Yeah, there you
in
go.
In fact, I heard somebody calling them in Palestine Caspers.
That sounds, sounds like...
Really?
Yes.
An indicator of
Cleo.
Yes.
Okay.
Cleo. I like Cleo.
Model Cleo. It's going to be a form of direct democracy.
I think I'm in a minority.
I want to suggest that that is something as a voter in the local board elections for a couple of times. I think that we should consider not offering the. You mean to have the memberships elect national boards?
Yeah, that's
it's hard enough.
We'll write that up as one of the cons in the model.
Well, I want the model where you have listener members elect a certain percentage, staff members elect another percentage, and local boards represent another percentage.
Well, no, that's
no.
Leave it where it is because there is a, Cleo is there is a direct democracy world.
I want model David.
Yeah, so
kill
model.
there's a D.
Well,
there is a D.
Should be direct democracy. That should be. Just,
there's David.
Dare we say the Congress model or something like that?
That, and then everybody will remember it.
David will be direct democracy, right?
Yeah, okay.
So
this is what Cleo is. We have listener members electing, staff members electing, and local board members electing some number of members to the national board.
We looked at that model last week.
Okay.
I believe Gregory presented it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then we have, as the fourth model, direct election democracy.
Direct
democracy.
What are
these
two? DD. Let's call it DD.
Yeah, DD.
No, let's call it
DD.
Oh,
come
on. This is a direct democracy level national board elected by the members at the local level.
Okay. That pretty much covers it.
These are four models that we've got.
That we've looked at.
Al, Bell, Cleo, and David. can we divide these models up and see if some people can work on a narrative description of each of them? People would be interested in doing that in subcommittees by email.
Sure. Why don't you start with Al and go down?
Okay, who wants to be on the Al committee?
I should buy you a
Jim.
Makes sense.
I'll be on. Anyway, you don't have to like it to help write it.
Maybe you want
to
kill it.
Yeah, but it's
help. I'll be clear.
Well, that's true. It doesn't really matter.
You
want to
be on?
I like it.
Okay. Conrad. Okay, anybody else want to work on this one?
Well, maybe. Let me see what are other people work on.
Okay, how about Bell? Anybody want to work on Bell?
Yeah. I'm going to work on Bell. Then. Who else?
I'm going to work on all of these, by the way.
Oh,
well,
we could work on more than one?
Bell.
Executive privilege?
I'll work on it.
You can put me on Bill.
Okay.
But we could work on more than one.
Yeah.
We should. Really
no reason why not.
One.
Anybody want to work on Cleo?
Yeah.
Yes.
Gregory. And Gary. Anybody else?
Jane.
And what about David? Direct democracy.
I guess I probably should, because I'm probably the only person here to point to.
No.
I got one.
There could be other reasons to work.
Michael.
Michael.
Your name is Michael, you have to work on that.
Even if you just come in the next meeting.
If that's your name, you go to work.
Okay. So...
Next question is there anybody in this room who's not on the email distribution who actually has email?
Yeah. Oh, we don't have a list going on.
Yeah, I brought my list. Let's go.
Are you on, Adrian?
Yes.
You have my stuff, my notebook? I brought it in for a demo.
No,
there's
a notebook here. That's it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So what I've we've got 10 more minutes. Before you came in, Mike decided to meet again in 2 weeks instead of one. And do this work in the meantime of trying to come up with good, succinct, clear descriptions and graphic models that we can then farm out to the other station areas for discussion that are understandable.
So, right now we're just working on methods of election. Are we going to get to the other areas of the bylaws later then?
What areas are you talking about?
Well, I have to pull out the bylaws, but the other sections.
You mean like election of officers and stuff like that?
Yeah,
the answer to your question is yes. Okay. These are the maxi structures. The rest of it, I think we'll look at later.
I have a question. There's some things like you're saying, like in mine, one person, one vote. There was some models discussed earlier that people had more votes.
Huh? Oh.
Right.
Are we considering anything like that?
I think in any one of these models, we could actually make the number of national board members variable, proportional to the size of the station. If we wanted to, we could make that as an option that could be described in any of these models. And before we run out of time, I wanted to bring up a housekeeping issue. Some people have asked for weekend meetings from out of town because they can't come weeknights. Is there a massive opposition to setting up a weekend meeting?
What would it be, weekend day, is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, like
not
a Saturday.
How early?
I'm having a lot of problems finding space anywhere, anytime, so Mike Donaldson might have a report about that.
Which is that I work for the College of Alameda, and I could arrange for us to have a space. My personal preference on the weekend would be in the afternoon rather than the morning.
Yeah.
Like what time in the afternoon? Let's say after 2 o'clock or 1:30. I work till 3, I know we can't work around everybody's schedule.
Well,
what's everybody else?
Yes,
Jane. Well, in response to that offer, I said I would check with Elaine College professor. I didn't have a chance to email back to you that he said there was no problem with achieving his birthday. Elaine, which is right next to Lake Nice Ice Station.
Oh. That's good.
That's handy.
All right.
There's some possibility, too, that at the Unitarian Church I can probably get the space.
Oh, I've been over there trying to arrange regular space with them for 4 weeks, and it's not easy because they're very much in demand.
Yeah.
Right.
And so having a regular meeting time has not been something that I've been able to do.
And would the lady one be donated? Okay, well, that's
doable. It's the same thing.
Right, the same thing.
All right.
Well, that's not the case, I have to say, because I work for the school district, and you people know nobody has the authority to donate rooms. And if they do that, they're doing it against procedure, and that can get us in trouble.
Right, so it's my understanding that at Alameda would be $25?
Approximately,
roughly
less. And it would be the same probably.
The issue would be if there's an on-campus club sponsoring, sometimes that's how you get around it.
I just there are other things that I don't want to address publicly.
Yeah, a transportation issue, though. It's pretty hard to get over there.
What I want to do is have the two of you report back to me who I should call, or, you know, who I should call and what I can do to firm up a space so that I can let everybody know.
And I think the possibility of my first degree is grant.
Okay, so I need a phone number and a name.
I sent that.
I think I missed it then.
Are you talking a week from
Saturday? Yeah, so it wouldn't be this Saturday. Let's make it a week and a half, a Saturday away. I'm going to try to do that. For a late afternoon, like 3:30.
Oh, the 20th?
I would like
God,
to
I don't
weekly.
Know. The 20th.
I think our meetings are going to need to be weekly.
Would it then always be on the weekend?
Yeah, that's, you know, the 20th is going to be a difficult
yeah,
day.
Yeah, the 20th is a big weekend.
There's a big weekend. It's a national day of programming and everything, and there's a big thing in San Francisco, and we're doing programming from D.C. and.
What about the 3:30?
Yeah, all day.
What about Sunday?
Well, why?
Same deal.
Earth Day?
No. It's the Middle Eastern thing.
The 20th.
It's a national
yeah.
programming day.
Yeah.
Well, that's the big protest day, too.
Yeah. And Sunday's, well, I could, a lot of Sundays I work, which you can't make it around me either, but a lot of Sundays I work, and Sundays aren't the best for me, but just the 20th
right,
isn't so high.
No,
later. Well, we're changing away from Tuesday evenings because there's some people that have complained they can't come.
Well, there's one guy that for
sure
can't come.
There's at least three people who've notified me they can't come on Tuesdays who want to be here.
Well, how many people can't make it for weekend?
But they could come other nights.
That's why we won't be able to make most weekends.
Now maybe we should balance this out. How many people are for
you? Is there anybody else here who couldn't make most weekends?
Well, if it was Sunday, I would have a real
Mary
problem.
Mary couldn't make it Sunday.
And then there are other people who are now on these lab committees, and they are all being scheduled on weekends. And I don't. There's some of the people who can't come on Tuesday that I know are involved in this. I'm just putting.
We might try to alternate Thursdays.
Thursdays might be a day that we could. Thursdays,
anyway,
people might
what
be
I'm,
better.
What I'm hearing is that Thursdays and Saturdays would work. I know Tuesdays are bad for several people.
Mm-hmm.
We have two potential colleges.
Well, I think my church is available on Thursday.
Okay.
And Saturday the 27th?
That's far away.
That's too far away. So if we're not going to do that, then I would make it not this
Thursday
coming.
How about
18th?
Thursday the 18th?
The week after.
Thursday the 18th.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Let's
you'll all get noticed.
That's
Carol? If we're going to take Max up on his wonderful, generous, and I think very useful offer to turn these plans into graphics, then we have to get the information to Max by time for him to do that.
Right.
So how much time would you need?
Well, how many models do we have?
Four.
But one of them, one of them.
I'll tell you something. I think we, over a period of 3-4 days, I can do it. You know, an afternoon. To 2-3 hours per, depends how quickly
that's
I do.
That's really generous.
But it seems to me though we need to be very clear on what is in the narrative. We can't go into details. You know, we have to sort of identify the basic building blocks and how they're tied together. Then I can begin to draw something. Because otherwise it's just too. If I have to.
Right.
Read the narrative and figure out what's essential. It's just too much for me.
And that has to apply to all narratives. Details will be worked out later.
That's right.
There are four other committees around this country. If they have an overview of what we're thinking,
that's right.
Then they'll look at it. If we send them a 30-page description, they won't read it.
That's right.
So, you know, 2 pages now. Yeah.
Can we spend about 3 minutes now defining what might be in the bullet?
I'd rather the subcommittees do that, and I'll serve on all subcommittees
to get some consistency among them.
And are we going to communicate by email or what?
I can't.
Yeah, by email.
Well, you can never come on Thursday. Oh, you didn't.
Who's
say?
Not on email?
Oh my God!
One person.
But you're the key person.
Well,
yeah,
I'm not.
Don't
the key.
Don't schedule it around me either, because I'm not sure, you know, how many.
Oh my.
I can't make Thursdays. I don't know if it. I know that I'm also one person, but I just want to throw it out there.
You're one person with the website.
That's true.
That's awful. Well, what about Wednesday, the 17th?
Well, Wednesday, all right, go back for a one. I'll see what kind of space I can line up. Did you need, did have a comment? Somebody can help?
Yeah. Can you bear it?
He's trying to be.
Fill the thing.
Yeah.
Get the papers off.
Yeah.
So in other words, the model should be gotten to max 3 days before.
Yeah, three or four days. Yeah.
Let's try to do these models with descriptions in a week and get them.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Can these narratives up there do some kind of a pencil drawing? That represent your idea of what the
simple
kind of pencil drawing that represents your own ideas.
Well, it has to mail. Thursdays are bad for you a lot.
Okay, and
so
we've got one that's totally bad.
Wednesday's better. Saturday's better.
Saturday works for a lot of people.
Something totally different
for Max. Are all of these models going to address in some manner how the diversity issue is dealt with?
Maybe.
I mean, I think it's sort of a fundamental. If it's not in there, we're going to have to question every model. Therefore, can the people giving Max the information make sure that the diversity question is
I'm going to observe on all of these and see that there's some consistency in how these are described.
Can we have part narrative, part drawing. Not all of us have can scan things into our computer or make our computer do that, so maybe we should snail mail the drawing to Gary or Max.
Max is going to do it.
A pencil drawing representing your own idea of relationships will be helpful.
Okay, I'll work it out. I'll work it out.
Mail too.
Is everybody clear with where we are for now? It was a good meeting.
It was such good work.
Really.
Thanks for all the hard work. Yeah. It's incredible.